Recently, two news items from wholly different sources caught my eye. That spot just behind the zonule of Zin to the left of my latissimus dorsi, and much as I tried not to, I was destined to draw a connection between them. The first originated in the classifieds section of a monthly municipal magazine from Texas. It said, "Wanted. Clerk for the village of BK, popular 241, position open until filled. Call so-and-so for application and job description." And I brought it. I wanted you to believe.
Wait, what is this? Let me see. Where
at the top.
At the top. BK, population 241, city secretary. Please contact. Yes. Position open until filled.
Until filled.
It's good. Yeah. This is from Texas Town and City, March issue.
Right.
Very good.
I read it twice before the neural net that keeps me from swallowing my Adam's apple linked the ad to a long sublimated memory. Bee Cave. Of course.
Yes.
The tiny Texas tank town where the U.S. Army had relocated several hundred refugees from Roswell, New Mexico in 1957. A few neurons jumped a memory gap, and I further recalled that the refugees were alien to the community in the best sense of the word. They were distant half-cousins of an intelligent ant-like race of extraterrestrials for whom the Department of Defense had had to create housing when it accidentally destroyed their spacecraft, as reported in this very forum last year.
Here, you mean?
Here,
wow.
Yes. Don't you remember the tokamak stuff?
The tokamak stuff, yeah. Yes. Hundo!
Bino
Benghazi.
No, that's something else.
Well, yes, but somebody. Anyway, last year we reported something we don't remember.
Right. And that's probably safe not to remember. When scientists later examined the wreckage, they discovered an advanced astrohydrodynamic technology that led to the invention of the water pick. But that wasn't all they found. Stowed away in the stasis cocoons that comprised the very fabric of the craft's walls were 300 bee-like creatures, which, when awakened, proved to have complex senses of taste and humor. But they didn't acclimate well to the South New Mexico climate. There was nothing funny about the local ambulatory Venus flytraps that preyed upon them. So they were bused to Bee Cave, a federal witness protection program district 15 miles west of Austin, Texas. It's on the map, too. Of course. Naturally.
Naturally. It's we tell nothing but the truth here. Everything is reported with great accuracy.
That's
here.
Us.
Yes.
There they gradually integrated into the community. The second item was an email originally from France via the University at Normal, Illinois. You may have a copy of this.
Yes, I believe I forwarded it.
Yes, you did. It was a call for compositional scores no more than 10 seconds in length from a music ensemble that hoped to play 2,000 of them in the year 2000.
We're going to have an awful lot of stuff for the year 2000, and then what's going to happen?
We'll go to 2001.
And nothing will happen but reruns of an old movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, so I'm ready
for it. It was only on last week.
Was it?
Yes.
Yes. The group ensemble Decadence.
Yes. Decadence.
Whose coincidental anagram is Dada Sense, and I'm sure that jumped right out at
it
you.
It jumped right out at me, yes, as did the fact that I performed in a piece called Decadence with David Van Tiegem and Judith Scott,
was
below 21 years ago.
Exactly, yes. Of course, this is the European spelling of Decadence.
Right.
Close quote.
Close parens.
Yeah, whose coincidental anagram is Dada Sense, further stipulated that the tunes be, quote, easy to play, end quote. It was then that my neural net snagged another memory tendril from amongst the dozens of argumentative dendrites and axons and, quote, easy to play, end quote, anagrammatized into Yeasty Opal.
Oh, boy, anagrammaton strikes again.
Yeah, the Benjamin Moore latex paint color used on the Bee Cave Bee House interiors. the red alert light should be flashing all over at this point.
Yes,
but
it is. I'm afraid it is. I hope our listeners' red alert lights are flashing.
Right. Any kind of lights would flash. Suddenly, a multitude of maddening melodies slice through my head like a buzzsaw through split cannabis soup.
A bee buzzsaw.
Bee buzz. And I pictured ensemble members decked out in yellow and black striped costumes, like those popularized by John Belushi and his Saturday Night Live cohorts in the late 1970s. The music that swirled from their instruments seemed easy enough to both listen to and play, as it sometimes constituted a single note. But the incessant buzzing that accompanied their performing nagged like a pedophile in a nursery school. The pieces were short enough to begin with, each under 10 seconds in length, as stipulated in the solicitation, but each time the group repeated a piece, it played precisely half of it. By the 8th or 9th reading, the length of some tunes constituted negative integers, in essence borrowing time from prior or future performances. The pieces appeared to be over before they were begun, even though some memory of them lingered in the minds of the audience. Ensemble members, too, began to diminish in size until they resembled Dada caricatures of the BK refugees. Their musical instruments, however, refused to shrink and soon were too large for the Lilliputed ensemble to play. Fortunately, for lack of a better word...
Yes.
The research...
I hope you have a summary at the end.
Now, why should I start to wreck things by trying to summarize... Anyway, he said, fortunately, for lack of a better word, the research junta of Calvos and Damien's New Music Bazaar has appropriated those very instruments from the ensemble and would have featured them today as a tribute to B.K. Decadence and the absence of a scheduled guest on this 212th episode, but...
We do have a scheduled guest, so...
So...
Them's the breaks.
Yeah. And where does easy to play what does instantly to play? What does easy to the mind trips when the view from the cornea does not refer anyway. And what does easy to play instantly suggest? Could it be Calvos?
Yes, it could.
It could.
Let's listen to the next minute and 1 second of this, and I'll be back to tell you what it is and why the heck we're here today. Heatwave,
yeah.
Music
Ooh.
By Warren Burt.
A real hot number. I like that little percussive stroke at the end.
I think that was the Squeaky Chair Ensemble there. That was recorded live in concert Thursday night at the Renee Weiler Concert Hall in New York City, performed by the Downtown Ensemble.
Will you perhaps let us know why anyone would have recorded that concert? Or not, let me rephrase that.
Yeah, please.
What led to the recording
of that concert? Particular concert.
Yes.
Because there was a Calvos tune on the same concert.
A
Calvo tune, which we may hear sometime later in the program. Well, today's guest, yes, we do have a scheduled guest. He just happened to be de-scheduled from another slot to this slot.
I see.
Nice thing about tapes.
Right.
We will have at the top of the hour the conclusion of our interview with Charles Amerkanian, and then further guests in future weeks will be live before the microphones. The tentatively scheduled guest for today, by the way, Kyle Gann, will be here the second Saturday of July.
And I have an essay
with family.
All right, family and perhaps a buffet.
A buffet, yes.
We can let that out.
All right. Since we're going to have the second half of our interview with Charles Amerkanian, a word artist, I thought we could listen to a couple of word pieces, not his, but a couple of others that appeal to us in the course of time.
Sure.
Here's one. This is more from The Case of Death by Agatha Smith by John Oswald.
Oh, good. I recalled this.
Yeah, nice tune from a tune. Maybe not quite the word for a verbal piece, but here it is. Music by, recitation by, hard to say, something by, with sound and words by John Oswald.
Ooh.
More from The Case of Death by Agatha...
Oh, now, I should just like to say this.
Smith.
Now, let me recollect my thoughts. I can feel my little fingers tingling now.
Oh! Then...
Now.
She paused. But at that moment...
The opportunity arose...
For mystery.
Murder.
And... wait a minute.
Then...
Suddenly... Anyway.
Presently.
What? Replied Detective Frank Smile.
Mrs. Trollope said...
Hands up! The Duke sprang forward with a pad and pencil and drew a breath of relief. He strode across to the door as the door...
Over there?
Behind them. The door into the...
Door of this
stood with its door ajar. But standing in the doorway by the communicating door to the door in the opposite wall, the position of which, as the door opened, was entering up to the front door, the door appeared.
Proceeding.
An inner door led in a secret drawer to a back doorknob. In the other door, closed in little doors. And there's another door, purposely a little ajar, closed.
Door.
Then passing out through the doorway, slightly open, closed, opened it carefully, closed again, and opened the door. He paused on the threshold. Then with a laugh, he sprang back.
And once more...
The Duke sprang forward, propelled.
Right over London.
Mrs. Trollope said...
A fine view.
So she says...
She said...
Now look here.
Of course, it's splendid.
He remarked.
Well, it looks like it, doesn't it? Go on.
Dead silence.
But then...
Agatha spoke.
As I say...
She said.
I was so sure, but...
Doctor
Chance
clutched Bingo by the arm.
As a matter of fact, I have something up my sleeve.
He said with a smile.
Well...
She said, breathlessly.
Ooh.
Oh!
How horrible, wasn't it?
Suddenly, after lunch, Agatha said...
I've thought of something.
Huh.
Yes.
What? But one word had caught the other's attention.
Indigestion.
She passed. She paused. She whispered. It's her.
She sighed.
Oh,
surely, dear.
She paused. She passed. She's dead, she said.
She said...
All right, he said. She said...
Oh, Charles.
The garden.
With violence.
She sighed.
She paused.
She stopped.
Then paused. She paused. And slowly, but...
Presently.
He poured him a cup of tea.
Etc. But the very next day...
Suddenly. This... Just opened right,
but
it left more for which he knew is it one
before
why
peak. Proof. Plump. Think. Point. Parallel. Two. She paused.
He said...
But what could I do?
Then... She said...
But you know what I mean.
She said...
I'll change everything.
She said...
And what happened?
She paused. She said.
The result came as a shock to me.
She said.
And the final coincidence...
Said Agatha. She said. She said.
With a sigh of relief.
Was.
She sighed. She paused.
She said.
Mark my words.
Said Agatha Smith.
This isn't the end. That is a foregone conclusion, etc.
more on the case of death by Agassiz and Smith. That's a collection of sounds recontextualized, as it were, by John Oswald. More?
Oh, I love that. I love that.
It's a very good tune. We have some other good ones for later in the program as well. I thought I'd bring this one along because it has not only relationship to today's program, but some secondary and interesting relationship. This is the original sound text that Chris Mann did for the Frog Peak Collaborations Project, which was a sound text placed on the Internet, which composers around the world modified in various ways. So here's the original sound text, and just two or three of the pieces done on it, and then I'll follow up with something entertaining that relates to that.
Yes.
All right, here it is. The original sound file as we downloaded it.
There is something example. Somebody has attacked to find a problem by predicting an economy of virtual nouns. Interrupts the idea of proof. Those nouns are actions and events. The dies are child read on to see a wife. Looks like a subject, but I mean, is an emergent property of any system increasing probability of asking the right question? A question. A parasite that adapts or no. It's not some quantum illegal. In addition, it's a function that represents information after all. Is that a failure description? It means system out of consciousness, a parity, to equal number of probabilities of product real numbers, a base may be parity in bags, but DAGs is some inductive random and negative it. Sit, what? Tautology is a square of the propensity to explain any point function as random, just like absence of the fact that the plane of flick is a sort of day type time. It is what starts description, non-linear possibilities, and if you quit, shit. The pragmatics of ignorance. Something better do you do on my time, my reduction, small in your reduction, because I have a large number. And in fact, that, an example of itself, I mean, risk of refers, picks up a difference on a stick, difference of first coordinate leg, self-evidence of judgment, perfect rule, the assigns, the linger game, replica and drags, his name, seduction is introduction, violence, credit is a history, interest of words without history, climbs it, the altruist eyes about, conspires, and sacrifices, no doubt, cues.
Thank you.
The original sound text file by Chris Mann. That, by the way, I found out only Thursday was unedited. That's exactly how he performs those.
Ah, and how will this tie into another tune?
It'll tie in brilliantly in a number of ways. The four pieces that we heard based on the Chris Mann sound text were one by Christine Burns, two by Larry Polansky, and the last one by James Vaughn. He will be our guest on August 6th.
Ah, good.
That's one tie-in. Tie-in number two is that Chris Mann was also on this concert Thursday night, along with the Warren Burt piece that we heard, Heat Wave, that opened the show today. And I was preparing a copy of the show for delivery down to the performance on Sunday, by the way, which will happen at the Deep Listening Center in Kingston, New York at 3 p.m. That's the Pauline Oliveros Center in Kingston, New York, 3 p.m. And I was preparing to bring a copy down of the New York concert of these, and something hiccuped in my computer on Chris Mann's piece, and this is an excerpt of what happened. Now realize that this is a live performance that he is giving. Now I do have the original and it did come out fine eventually, but I kept this hiccup because it was pretty astounding. Here's picking up about, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes into the hiccup. Here is humility on eating your words modified by my computer hiccuping. Chris Mann. Thank you. And so you see, I couldn't have written a better set of variations myself. Each one, the voice remains the same, but each one of the piano returns is like collected from different places. Yes. I have no idea how this happened.
You always wanted to write variations on a deconstruction piece.
I yes, and it was ruined for me because the machine did it. I didn't do this. It was so wonderful, so I did have to keep it. So there's variation on Chris Mann's Humility, Eating Your Words, eaten by my computer.
That's wonderful. That's
wonderful. Oh, gosh. Well, all right. Our guest in a few minutes is Charles Amerkani, and while we're laughing, here's his piece, Bejanum, Not Funny.
Thank you. Richard Stolmeyer, and you're listening to Culver's and Domain's New Music Bazaar. You're red alert for new music. It's good, it's safe, and it's fun.
And thank you, Richard Stolmeyer, for our show ID.
Are we really safe, though?
We are safe as can be. We are safe because we are going to have a contest to design our T-shirt.
All right. And of course, you should note that where we are, we're not on the road right now.
No, we are on WGDR Plainfield.
Soon to go back on the road.
Yes, and that's also what makes us safe, because we're not on the road.
Yes!
Yes! So let's finish, actually, our very last couple of questions here with Charles Amerkanian, and we'll play one more of his tunes, and we'll come back with more about upcoming events, including our T-shirt design contest.
Oh, good.
Ooh.
Take a picture of just his shoes.
We did.
Yes.
Did.
One more thing, Charles Amerkanian. Let's hear one more thing.
Okay. Let's play a piece called Gold and Spirit, which was composed for the Olympics in 1984 in Los Angeles. There was a radio component to the Olympics and an arts component, and lots of things happen that don't have to do with sports at the Olympics. So Carl Stone was in charge of commissioning for radio some pieces that year. Joan LaBarbera, John Cage, and other people did them. But mine was a composition in which I recorded sports sounds and collaged them into a piece, mixing them with the sports cheers that I'm so fond of, like Ray Man Ray and Go Van Go. And these are blended together in a kind of sports fantasy. I've been a sports fan all my life, even though I don't participate. I have to save my delicate hands for the recording studio. But I do like to see other people destroy their bodies for my benefit. I didn't realize, when I got hooked on sports that these people were hurting themselves. I just thought that it was all wonderful. But now, as I'm older, I realize that people I went to school with who were great athletes probably have pretty bruised up bodies about now. I'm like 54 years old now. Boy, if I had played football in high school, I'd be a walking pain in the ass.
And this has to do with the Golden Rule. What's the name of this piece?
The Golden Stool.
The Golden Rule. The Golden Stool.
Golden Spirit. That's a phrase.
Golden Cap. Right.
I can see you're well read in psychology. This is from Jung, gentlemen. Jung.
Oh, yeah, he do a radio show out on the West Coast.
The distinguished.
He did a piece called Xing Qi, isn't that
correct?
So, in this piece, you have the gold from the medals and the spirit from the cheers of people participating in the Olympics. And it starts with
that sound.
A basketball buzzing, not unlike that sound. In fact, that's a very nice sound. Hello?
Yes, if we can get through it, let's see if we can, and then we'll play it.
What?
I guess that's it. Okay, it starts with those sounds. Charles Amerkanian, thanks so much for joining us on Charles and Damien's New Music Bazaar.
Now, it's KGDR, right?
No, it's W. We're on
WGDR, goddamn radio. Yes, what is the acronym for it? German Democratic
Republic. Yes.
Republic. No, really. What is the
Goddard Radio?
Goddard
College. Yes. Oh, Godard, we say in the West.
Godard. We say that too.
We say that too.
You Godard, I think he's someone we know. Yeah.
And you Godard the road about 7 feet.
That's right. That's what we are.
Left and then you have the radio
station. We'll go to the phase.
We listen to the radio phase now to charge.
But I didn't tell you what I was going to tell you.
Oh, he was going
to
tell.
I wanted to invite everybody to come out to the Other Minds Festival in San Francisco. It happens every March. We have unusual people who do incredible performances, and if you want to know more about it, you should probably check out the website for the Other Minds Festival.
It's a great website, by the way. It's got
amazing
stuff on it, and it's quite beautifully set up as well.
Well, Jim Newman, the president of the organization, does all that stuff in his home. He's a great webmaster, and he has put a lot of sound samples on and recordings of the entire festival from last year and this year will be up soon. But it's otherminds.org. And if you'd like to be on the mailing list to get our fancy newsletter, which has all sorts of amusing articles like Who Killed Classical Music?
Stolen from elsewhere by Kyle Gann.
Right. No, he didn't steal it. He wrote it, but we stole it. then you can do that through the website. And I should also say, and I'm going to give you guys a copy of this, we put out a fantastic new first CD about 2 months ago, one month ago. It's called The Virtuoso Pianolist, and it features Rex Lawson playing Stravinsky's Lenos and a bunch of other bizarre material that he's arranged for the pianola from other classical composers. But this is the first time Stravinsky's roles for this fabulous piece of music have ever been released, and they were made in Paris in 1923, and just then radio came along and killed the player piano, and Stravinsky never sold any. He thought he was going to make a fortune doing this. So we have the first recording of those roles out of this famous ballet, and it's pretty amazing, and those were the roles that inspired the Ballet Mécanique of Antheil.
I just listened to it this morning.
This morning?
You did. Now, you know, Antheil's Ballet Mécanique exists in a version for 8 pianos, and that's on the Music Masters label. I don't know if you've heard that CD.
I think we have.
Okay. Now, the other thing is that in Lowell, Massachusetts, on November 18th, a version for 16 MIDI-controlled pianos is going to be performed, and you should be the first to know about it. Paul Lehrman's organizing this event.
Great.
So, University of Massachusetts Lowell, November 18th, 1999, the first performance ever as Antheil originally envisioned it of the Ballet Mécanique for 16 grand pianos.
All right. Maybe we can get there.
I think that sounds like a place we should be.
I think you should be there. Anyway, nice to be on the program. Best of luck with the radio show. You guys are sterling interviewers. And I'm sterled
up.
Because
we play 25 minute tunes, that's why. Charles Amakana, thanks so much.
Thanks very much.
That's fine. So.
Not so,
where's the garlic?
Not so,
home,
not so, just
Well, yeah,
Charles
just
Amerikanian.
Ends like that, does it?
Yes.
For the Olympics, that was it?
Gold and spirit for the Olympics. Well, you never know. You just never know. It says here on this CD called Walking Tune, available from Starkland CDs, the art of audio collage has been reinvented here, a brilliant sense of imaginary space. That comment written here by Laurie Anderson.
Oh, Laurie, yes.
Whose New York social life we'll hear right now.
Good. Okay, your mind's okay too, you know, I'm joking, but working. This is my on cable TV, and it's going to be about loneliness. You know, people in the city who, for whatever sociological, psychological, philosophical reasons, just can't seem to communicate. You know, the gap, the gap. You know, it'll be a talk show and people will phone in, but we will say at the beginning of each program, listen, don't call in with your personal problems, because we don't want to hear them.
I'm going to sleep, and it rings again, and it's Mary, and she says,
hey, Lori, hi, how are you? Listen, just called to say hi, and don't worry, listen, just keep working. I gotta go now. I know it's late, but we should really get together next week. And listen, Lori, if you want to talk, I'll leave my answering machine on, and just give me a ring anytime.
New York Social Life by Lori Anderson.
A nice early tune.
Yes,
nice
1977 tune. Is not the 60s, you know. And to think about a decade after she recorded that thing saying, hey, how are you? I'm broke. She was doing nationwide ads for American Express.
Yes, well, she's... I do remember the advert copy. It said, how to buy a performance,
and you modified that.
Just added the word artiste.
Yes, how to buy a performance artist. Dangle that American Express card. Well, speaking of American Express cards, here's an American classic guy, Charles Dodge. He's currently teaching at Dartmouth, and we have had him on and off our schedule for the show for 3 years now. You wouldn't think that the guy only lives a couple hours away, but we're going to travel to his house, his very kitchen, perhaps pop open a bottle of wine, play with some kid toys on the floor, bring along a buzzophone, who knows. But Charles Dodge, here's another old tune. This is from the recording created and edited by our today's guest, Charles Amerikanian. This is called 10 plus 2, 12, American Text Sound Pieces, and this was issued long ago, 1974. On a now defunct label called 1750 Arch Records. So here it is by Charles Dodge. This is an excerpt from Speech Songs.
When I am with you, I am to places at once. When I am with you, I with you, when I am with you, when I am with you, when I am with you. When places at once, two with you, and once two places with you, you are with me. I am two places at once, when I am with you, when you are with me. Me. When you are with me, you have just arrived with a suitcase, Unpack with the other. destroyed. She was no longer in the streets.
When he saw her in the street, he knew he had seen her before, he saw her, he had seen her before, but couldn't place himself.
Two of the speech songs by Charles Dodge. You were saying?
Oh, who needs digital processing? That's lovely. Now, I presume that was mostly analog.
It was, in fact, entirely digital. That was created
on the
Bell Labs DP224 computer in 1973.
Who needs
back when
analog?
It was hard to do those things, and back when people were still having fun and willing to be naive.
I'll say.
And that was just absolutely delightful. I haven't heard that myself in at least 20 years. That from the American Text Sound Pieces LP, long out of print, and I do not think it's been reissued on CD. I have no idea, but I don't believe it has, along with the Sounds of Sound Sculpture and a number of other of those classic pieces.
Too bad. There are lots of great classic pieces that remain obscure because we don't have the medium to play them.
Yeah, that's true. It would be nice to hear these without clicks. Well, let's listen to a piece by Ian Chuprin. Ian is going to prepare a special contribution to the Calvis and Damien show. He is an acousmatique composer, and he posted something on one of the lists online, and I asked him, would you explain this for us? And he said, yeah. As a matter of fact, why don't I create you a piece of broadcast art? So we're waiting for one of Ian's broadcast art pieces, which will be created specifically to explain the acousmatique world to us.
Do we know where he is?
He is in, I believe, in Toronto. I'm not positive, but I believe that's where he is. Gosh, I don't know those things. It's all a virtual world.
Oh, sure.
It's a virtual world. How's that song go? After all, it's a virtual world.
Yes,
well, it doesn't matter. Here's Ian Chuprin's Adam's Song.
Daddy's not recording. His microphone's on.
Can you hear yourself now?
Please. Daddy's not recording. His microphone's on.
We
are.
Can
you
talk to me?
It's all set up so you don't actually have to speak right into the microphone.
I'm
Lizzie.
Yeah, don't talk like, just tell me your stories like you were doing.
Andy,
you
know what? More
slabber.
Daddy's not recording.
These
microphones
are on.
He won't
be able to reach.
My husband wants to be delighted to be playing the rest of the puppet.
another piece based on vocal sounds. That was by Ian Chuprin, Adam's Song. Actually, at the beginning we had a part of It Was Very Safe in My Dream, also by Ian Chuprin.
Yes, yes. Think of them as art songs, and then
yes,
modern-day art songs, and you can decontextualize them that way.
Speaking of art songs, one of the composers scheduled for sometime later this year is Beth Anderson. And these days, Beth Anderson has gone the way of writing very tonal music for traditional ensembles. As a matter of fact, we played her piece Minnesota Swale on this program, and it probably received more phone calls of, it's about time you played something we can listen to, than any other piece that we ever played on the program. Well, Beth Anderson first came into my horizon long ago on this very same recording of American Text Sound Pieces. And before she wrote Minnesota Swale, let's have a listen to what Beth Anderson was doing back in her days as a performance artist. Here's a piece from that recording, American Text Sound Pieces by Beth Anderson. This one is called Torero Piece.
I would like to try to give you an idea of the relationship between my daughter and me. From the day she gave her first cry to this world, she has had me jumping. I mean literally jumping to the tune of her desires, her whims, her romances, her ambitions, her longing for such things as a baby grand piano, her insane wish to live in her own apartment when she had a perfectly comfortable home, her indomitable will to come west to study when it could have been done so much cheaper at home. But that isn't the issue. Somehow, with her driving determination and my never-ending desire to please her and help her find her own happiness and place in her world, together we have gotten this far. We have had numerous good times and a few bad times together, but always we were together when the chips were down. And that is what really matters. That is the way I want it to always be, that we are together. My daughter is loving as a puppy one moment, fractious as an angry cat the next, riding on cloud nine when her talents and efforts are being appreciated and noticed, depressed and low in spirit and almost to the clawing stage at the establishment when she's being severely criticized. And in coping with these up and down emotional changes in her disposition, I, as her mother, am just the opposite. I am slow to anger, slow to get excited. I move slowly in making decisions. But to keep my balanced relationship with my daughter, I must shift my emotions, my directions, my decisions much more rapidly, or I would lose her completely. My daughter knows how much I care, how strong I would be for her, whether she is right or wrong. There are many material things I would love to give her, but due to circumstances, I can't. And on the other side of the picture, there are many things I have given her that she didn't want. Many times I've tried to do something for her, and she won't let me. She seems to have a protective feeling for me. She often keeps me from being foolish and extravagant by flatly saying, "No, Mother, I don't want you to do that for me." I will always give my daughter my love, my time. I will honor her privacy and give her a sincere understanding. If I do these things, she in turn will keep the lines of communication open. And I will be spared the anxiety and heartache that we see so often these days between mothers and daughters. She will know that I will treat her as an honorable, trustworthy individual, because a daughter will naturally tend to become what you expect her to be.
Which was, in fact, an orchestral composer. That's what she became. But that's what she was doing in 1973. Torero piece by Beth Anderson.
Now, will you tell me again that that was a fully digital
construct? I will not tell you any such thing.
Oh, good. All
about
right.
That. No, fine. Especially Mom.
Yeah.
Mom was not digital. Midwest, maybe, not digital.
Yes.
You have some John Appleton.
Well, he was once upon a time on our show, and we played at least one of these before, and possibly two. He also is an acoustomatique, also from Dartmouth, hanging around with that crowd. And he was in the audience when Charles Amerkanian was on stage presenting whatever he was doing.
And laughing. Yes, and John laughing. Appleton always has a good time.
Good time, yes. And we, too, will now have a good time with two of his tunes. One is Newark Airport Rock,
yes.
Followed by San Francisco Airport Rock.
Lovely. Oh, I think it's very nice.
The new electronic music. It's fine. It's fine to me.
I like it very much, but I wish I could understand it completely.
It seems very pleasant the short time I've listened to it.
Well, it doesn't particularly disturb me. I rather enjoy some of it, but some of it gets a little loud and gets on your nerves.
Here? To tell you.
Music where?
Oh, I just noticed it. It's very nice, I suppose.
The new electronic music.
You mean the thing we hear on the airplane?
Oh, I haven't heard much of it, but I think it's pretty good what I've heard. I don't care for it. I don't like lots of music. I think it's a beautiful thing. I think it's really nice.
Which I don't a lot. I find it soothing.
The new electronic music.
Well, I don't know too much about that kind of music.
I met Moog when he first came out with the synthesizer. Exciting in the sense of the way that computer technology has made it for us a new way of self-expression and a way of life.
It's just designed to keep people in some sort of stasis while the drugs are working, basically.
On the plane?
Yeah.
Oh, it's nice. It keeps you occupied while you're on the plane.
Just while the drugs are working.
I like good music.
Yeah.
Okay.
I listen to folk. I love Koya Sasaki.
Sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. I just come from England.
The digital music that comes out today?
Yeah.
I love it. It's really cool.
I don't buy it necessarily, but it's still on the radio.
I think it's great. He works for IBM, and so we could get it at any time.
A
I've got a CD called Lonely Planet.
That's really good to ask because I'm not really familiar with it.
Native music with an enhancement of electronics. And that's very good.
I think that's great. I like that myself personally. When people feel like they need a little bit of boost into the music, I think that's one of the best things they could possibly have done. Whoever created that was genius.
Am I supposed to hear something?
You mean like the music you hear in elevators?
I really haven't heard any.
Oh, it's not real.
I do not like synthesized music at all.
Well, I prefer music played by musicians without the without computers, which is actually interesting because I'm a musician and I work with computers.
I like it. I'm a computer person.
Which electronic music are you speaking about?
Like techno, rave, that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
I've heard some. I liked it. It's cool. Yeah.
I guess the answer is no.
For instance, if you are at a concert and someone has a very soft voice and they have all this other music and it makes it strong and clear and so forth, I have no objection.
I think I can hear it. Can you hear it?
Well, it sounds very good.
Hot.
Right.
You know, we're going to a jazz festival. We like real jazz played by real performers.
Hot.
Well, I think all music is just great.
Hot. Synthesizer stuff. Well, that's okay.
Hot.
27 years apart, Newark Airport Rock and San Francisco Airport Rock, and
the people stay the
same. Clueless. That's because they don't listen to this show often enough.
Shoot,
but we might not have anybody listening now after all of these text pieces.
Nonsense. People will understand. It's all music. It's just a different type of decontextualizing.
You,
as you
like
say.
That, all those syllables, don't
finally
you?
Finally been able to get able to say it.
Yes. Our number here for those wishing to call and say, why are you doing this to us, is area code 802-454-7762. We always love to hear your comments. We don't just give lip service to that notion.
Certainly not.
Speaking of which, here's a piece called Lip Service by Frederick Rzewski.
Thank you.
Lip Service from the Private Sea of Dreams. That's Fred Dorzhevsky's group called Il Gruppo.
Ah, so that was not overdubbed one lipster, but a series of
that's
lippers.
That's right. Mario Bantoncini, Franco Evangelisti, Roland Kane, Ennio Morricone, who you may recognize as a composer of string music and other movie music, Ennio Morricone,
yes.
And Frederick Grzeszewski. This is a true period piece, you know, this particular LP. Never reissued. Issued in 1967 on RCA.
They knew how to come.
I don't think RCA ever issued anything that had the faintest scent of the avant-garde, with the exception of this particular thing called The Private Sea of Dreams, and it has this kind of psychedelic cover, and it talks about kaleidoscopes and legal consciousness expanders, and lumps in one sentence Pierrot Lunaire, John Coltrane, Hare Krishna, St. Matthew Passion. So you know this is definitely a 1960s artifact. But that, I think, is really one of the most remarkable pieces from this recording, The Private Sea of Dreams. That's Lip Service by Frederick Rzhevsky, who we still haven't been able to snare for our show. We'd like to, but he keeps going back to Belgium.
As we will not, I guess.
No. Speaking of Belgium, here's a neighboring country. This is Paris, France. Marc Batier, this is two pieces from his CD Transparence on the poetry of Henri Chopin. This is the La Cavalcade Échevelée and Trois Moments Phoniques, music by Marc Batier.
You should be.
Those are the last two pieces from Transparence, a CD by Marc Batier. These are all computer reconstructions of the sound of the voice of Henri Chopin reading his poetry.
We really don't have a recording of the poetry reading, do we?
No, we don't, but we actually did listen to it when we interviewed Marc. He just didn't actually remember to give us the recording to take with us.
Oh, dear.
Ah, a long time has passed as those things go.
Hello, this is Michael Mannion, and you're listening to Calvos and Damien's New Music Bazaar, your red alert for new music.
And you're listening to it here on WGDR Plainfield. Michael Mannion, upcoming in the fall if he comes back to America. He came to America after escaping a landlord or something in Germany.
Yes.
Went out to California, and then is in Amsterdam, and I think right now he's in Orchard Beach, California. But
why is that? The musicians particularly have this thing about escaping landlords.
I don't know. You did that.
Well,
that was just because you got a house, but you just didn't like your landlord because he kept getting indicted because he was some sort of legal eagle state representative that kept getting indicted for things. Yes. Okay. Well, let's shift slightly away from the
words. You don't like that? You're tired of this? This wears on you? It's too dated?
I'm just shifting slightly away.
Very
there are fewer actual words in the following piece, but it's still vocal entirely by one of the mastresses of this vocalization.
Mastresses.
I was going to say masters, not exactly appropriate, I guess. Joan LaBarbera. This is a piece she did for VPRO, the radio station in Holland, in 1980. This is called Aaron. This is from a limited edition recording called As Lightning Comes in Flashes, and you surely won't hear it anywhere else but here. Music by Joan LaBarbera, Aaron.
una fetta tipo tappone.
Erin by Joan LaBarbera.
Yum.
From 1980. Isn't it? She's so wonderful. Ah, gosh.
It is.
Everything she's ever done.
I'll say. I just think it's a splendid piece. I haven't heard it very often, but I really like it.
Well, here's something. Heritage, again. This is one of mine. This is one that you insist I should still play.
It still works?
This is a 1994 performance of a 1973 dream piece for deconstructed syllables. This is called Specimen. Let's start it again. This is called I Cried in the Sun, Aida. This is still also a 1973 dream piece redone in 1994. I just had the name wrong. I Cried in the Sun, Aida. I Cried in the Sun, Aida, by Dennis Bathory Kits. We're running late.
One more tune.
Okay, here it is. Low Birds, also by Dennis Bathory Kits. This is from the premiere in New York City just a few days ago. Join us next week. Live guests, R.D. Polanski, and many more guests coming up. Same time, calvos.org gets you to the website with all the playlists. Here it is, Low Birds.
Thank you. a production of Multimedia.